Jam! Hello again, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. This is Monday Night Magic number 542, which staggers the brain to think about. And is this our last show this year?
Unless they find a way to hurt Legacy more by next week, yes.
All right, well, this is the final show of 2016 because next Monday is the day after Christmas and no one is available. And I severely doubt anything will happen that will warrant us recording. So if there is another show in 2016, that means something awful happened. Is it safe to say that?
I think it's pretty safe to say that. Like, if anything really small happens, we'll pick it up, you know, at the beginning of next year, since it's unlikely anything's going to happen in the week after that either. So we just dump them together into one episode.
Pretty much. So yeah, the only way we'll record another episode is if something actually terrible happens. So let's hope not.
Like they just cancel Modern. Like, then we'd probably talk. But
I said terrible.
Oh, you're right. They make... No, we'd still be talking because I'd be doing a little dance.
Like, what if they made Frontier an official format? No! Anyway.
I would have to develop an opinion and then talk about it.
And that would be terrible.
Be the worst thing ever.
Anyway, so I am Chewy.
Hi, Chewy.
I am joined this week by everyone's favorite goblin that refuses to stay in the graveyard, Squee.
Hi, me.
And our favorite bowtie-wearing old codger? Like, astronomical codger?
Curmudgeon!
Curmudgeon, that's the word. Thank you, not codger. Codger is a different thing. Our favorite...
A little bit.
Bowtie-wearing astronomical curmudgeon could not be with us because he's on a boat and he's chillaxing. And I would not doubt me if he was in a nautical-themed Peshmina Afghan.
Whatever you do, if you encounter him out in the wild over the next week, don't tell him about Star Wars. He hasn't seen it yet.
Yes. So I'm going to regret saying this since he's the one that we got. To fill the void left by clues.
Sideboarding in.
Sideboarding in this matchup where clues is not available. We have our favorite, let's see here, select side author. Is that what it's called?
The free side, yeah.
Free side. Select the paid side?
No, select is the free side.
Okay,
I just refuse to put the slave name on it.
Oh, okay. So he's a guy that writes for Star City where you don't have to pay for it, and he's a judge, and
two-time deck tech star.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you've got the Soul Sisters one that was really good, and then the Super Friends, whatever you called it, that was really good.
Well, it doesn't matter what I call it. They refuse to let me name Dex. Probably a good idea. Hi! Chewie hasn't said my name yet.
I was working on it. It's Chris Lansdell.
That's me.
They know already, though.
Yeah, probably. A.K.A. that limey. Can I say that word, the next word?
That limey.
It's in the Bible,
bastard.
Right? Yes, that limey bastard. Hi, John! John's the chef guy that plays Magic and tweets at us, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's
awesome. He just listened to that episode not too long ago.
What, the Iron Root Chef one?
Oh, no, the one that was entitled That Limey Bastard.
There was one called That Limey Bastard?
Oh, maybe not. Maybe that's just how I introduced you. Anyway, never mind. Hi, John. So, one thing happened. One thing happened. And then a couple other things also happened. So,
a few other things orbited the one thing.
Yeah, there we go. So the one thing that happened was the Star City Games Players Championship, which it's the Star City Worlds, essentially. It's all the top players, and they all get in a pit full of mud and beat the crap out of each other until the Miracle Man wins, right? Is that how that works?
I mean, it might as well.
I mean, yeah, I think that's the way that they do it, at least this one. Maybe next year they'll bring back the cage, though. That was awesome.
Dude, I miss the cage. You are not wrong.
I'm pretty sure that this year they had a multi-layered cage with weapons and barbed wire and electrified fences, because this format is 17 types of messed up.
I don't know. Looking at it, it sort of made me think of, like, watching an episode of, like, Nickelodeon Guts or something, where it's not quite as extreme as a mini-golf showdown, but they're still going to end the whole thing covered in glitter.
I mean, I want to be covered in glitter.
Have you considered going to a craft store? Because even if you don't buy anything, you'll come out covered in glitter.
He's not wrong.
Stuff is in the air. But yeah, Star City Players Championship just happened, in which 16 people came together and over the course of a series of standard, modern, and legacy events, somehow ticked each other off one by one in a battle royale style murder game until only one survives.
It was very bizarre. And you can tell it was bizarre because when you go to the coverage page, it doesn't actually tell you anything.
No.
And that's not good.
Though it does do one thing. I'll give the coverage page infinite credit for this. The video does not autoplay.
That is brilliant. Yes. So thank you for that. I just don't, like, there's not even a thing showing you who won. Like, it says up at the top, congratulations to the 2016 Players Championship, Joe Lissette. The Miracle Man capped a great year on the SCG Tour with a signature win. Join the SCG Tour when it returns in 2017. That's what we get. We didn't say who we beat. You go to day one, there's two feature matches and then some blog. You go to day two, there's four feature matches, wild card matches, and quarterfinals, and then standard bracket and final standings. And then there's another tab that's just deck techs. Seriously, I have no idea how this worked. Chris was trying to explain it to us before the show, and that made no sense either. So
yeah, I lost you at the Shrine of the Silver Monkey.
Yeah, like, I understand that they only had 16 players, and they didn't want to do something simple like single elimination or round robin, because with 16 players, I think round robin would actually still be going, right?
Well, technically, yes.
Yeah.
No, that's only 15 rounds plus top 8. That's like a GP.
That's like an F&M in a bad store.
A really big bad store.
So what's important is there were three formats, Modern, Legacy, and Standard, two of which will exist in 2017. Yay! And Joe Lissette won.
So Joe Lissette has been a standout in Legacy for a very long time.
Which is unfortunate because he plays Miracles. Hashtag stop the top.
When the great revolution happens, Joe Lissette will be one of three humans allowed to continue playing with Sensei's Divining Top. Because he does play it at a very good pace, and he makes it not boring.
Wait, also, talking about that great revolution. Okay, I was thinking of something else.
No, allowed to continue playing top, Reed Duke and Brian Brown-Doohan.
Hey, I like those guys.
They are nice human beings.
I mean, I've never met Joe Lissette, but I hear things.
Was he at that dinner? I think he might have been at the dinner at SCG Richmond. Very funny guy.
Sweet.
Cool.
So yeah.
Well, apparently he was successful.
He was victorious.
We would love to go into more detail, but since we didn't watch it, I didn't watch it. I did host the final day over on my Twitch channel, which I think is a thing I'm going to do in the future. So if anyone wants to come watch Magic events, like Pro Tours especially, then let me know and I'll host it there and we can all get in the chat and shoot the breeze. It'll be awesome. But I couldn't watch it.
Chris, can you explain to me what the grudge matches are?
Nope.
How they differ from the standings normal matches and the play pods?
Nope. Plain and simple. No.
Okay. I'm sure someone on Twitter will tell me, but like, I didn't realize it until I was reading it right now that they have standard grudge matches and modern grudge matches, but also group play pods.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was two people who were tied for record and had played each other twice and had an equal head-to-head record, so they needed a way to place them in different groups. I don't know.
Well, if you click on the standard grudge match results, you can see the charts that I guess explain how they're playing for buys and day twos and stuff, but these charts don't even make sense. And I grew up in like, you know, March Madness land where we live and die by charts. So this is all just really confusing to me. I really feel like I'm navigating the skill system in a JRPG. This is just weird.
Okay, so I found it. It's on the fact sheet, which is linked at the bottom of the day one coverage.
Okay.
Actually, it's linked it on all three of these tabs.
Cool.
Okay, so here's how it was set up. So there are 16 people. They were in four groups for some reason, four pods. So there are four pods of four for round robin legacy group play. So each pod had one champion, and then each pod Okay, each pod will start with one of our champions, the defending player's champion, followed by the three invitational champs. Right, okay. And then everyone else is placed randomly. Got it. So there are three rounds of round robin legacy group play. The first person in each pod is placed in the battle for buys group. The last person is placed in the play to stay group. I don't know why they worded it this way. First and second place in each pod went into the battle for buys group. Third and fourth in each pod went to
play to stay. So the top half of the field.
Essentially,
effectively, yeah. Okay.
Then they went to the modern group play, where the battle for buys group played. The two battle for buys group played each other. It looks like.
It looks like there's essentially a pairing of pairing off the eight people that are in battle for buys, and separately pairing off the play to stays. And the things on the line for the battle for buys group are the get buys, whereas the other people, because they'd already lost in the first round, are essentially doing like a win and end. Just to stay in the tournament.
So after three rounds of round robin modern group play, the first place from each battle for buys pod moves on with a buy into day two of the Players' Championship, while fourth place in each pod moves on to day two without one. To decide where the other two competitors from each pod will go, the second and third place finisher from each modern pod will play a grudge match of standard, with the winner receiving a buy into day two, and the loser not. Okay.
So these people don't even have to play standard if they won their way through the first two rounds, right?
Well, standard is the big finale.
Right, they'll have to do that the next day, but for day one, they don't have to play standard.
Right. And then the play to stay group, the first place goes to day two, and the fourth place is just eliminated, and then second and third in each pod play a grudge match of standard, with the winner moving on to day two and the loser being eliminated. Oh.
So the end result is they go from a field of 16 down to a field of 12, and then ultimately they make their way to a field of 8?
No. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And then things happen and there's a big bracket for standard, which is...
quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals?
With wild card matches also.
Sure.
But it says best two out of three matches, standard modern legacy, higher seed chooses first format. What does that mean? Did they play? It says standard knockout stage, but then it says higher seed chooses first format. What in the hell are they talking about?
So the finals was best of three matches with a match in each format. And the higher seed chooses
format. Oh, that's just the finals. Okay, so all of these are in... Yeah. So all of these are in standard, in the standard knockout stage, until it gets down to the top two. And then they play best two out of three matches, where each match is best two out of three games, and whoever's the higher seed chooses the first format, but they have to play at least two formats.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so...
This makes a lot of sense if you're watching it and they're telling it to you over and over, but if you're not watching it and you're trying to figure it out later, this is awful.
It still doesn't.
Oh, okay, well, good.
Well, like, okay, so instead of choosing player draw, usually a simple choice and constructed, the higher ranked player will have to choose to play first or to select the format of the first match. So if you picked, here, say you pick modern. Great, you picked modern. Modern's the format we're playing, but you're on the draw. The other person's on the play. Did you want to go first? Okay, sure. Now you're on the play. Your opponent gets to pick which format you're playing.
So if you're a cocky bugger who thinks that you have the best matchup in all three formats, you're just like, I'll take the play. Good luck.
And let your opponent pick the format, yeah. That's kind of extreme, because that means you sit down to play and you don't know which deck you're playing. But you know, I guess, if your decks are better on the play or... if they can survive being on the draw, and hopefully your opponent picks the... I don't know. This feels needlessly complicated because they have 16 people and they need to make this last for 2 days of nonsense. So yeah, that's what they did.
And they made the finals really big and important.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
It's, yeah, the finals being three formats. The thing is, with Joe Lissette in them, you know that if he's on the play, he's just choosing... Legacy to start with, because he's just better than everyone. Also, his matchup in Legacy against Caleb Shearer is Miracles versus Storm, also known as a bye.
but just reading this. All right, so best of three match wins. So each of these formats, you're still playing 2 to 3 games.
Yeah, you're still playing best of three times in just the finals.
So if you won best of three twice, you still have to play the third one just because they went through the trouble of making this happen?
I don't know. I doubt it. It says if the finals go to a third match,
okay,
the last remaining format will be played automatically. Yeah.
No. Yeah, because if they were going to do all three anyway, then it's completely pointless to choose.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So well, that all happened.
Sorry, dear listeners, that we are so uninformed, but again, there were 16 players, and since I don't follow the Star City events closely enough to care, I didn't actually watch any of it, which means this is all news to me. So
now, if you've just heard us working through all of that, I want you to actually click on the link in the show notes and look at what we were just looking at, and it'll make more sense, both what we just said and why it took us so long to work through what it was. But also, if you happen to be Star City Games and you hear this, this is what the world is looking at on your site. I'm glad you had that one a fact sheet that explained what we were exactly looking at, but you might want to make that more prominent. Because
that and your coverage links are just awful.
I like
there's nothing here.
Making the tournament have a different format, because with 16 players, you can't do a round robin, because then you have some poor sap at the end of the weekend who's gone like 1-14. And then nobody really wants to watch any of the matches except for the ones at the top of the standing. And frankly, the last four rounds are probably just straight IDs anyway.
Right.
But the way that the format is laid out, sure, it's a bit weird, but it could be explained. And in fact, you just read the document that did a passable job of explaining it. The problem I have with it is the way that it's laid out on the website. Like Squee was saying, you can't find any of this. And fortunately, like 13 of the 16 players in the tournament are well-known names if you watch SCG coverage at all. And even if you just read the results off a website once a week, Chewy, you've probably heard most of these names repeatedly.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, I know who all these people are by name. I just don't...
You know, and you've got like Pro Tour regulars, Brad Delson and Jerry Thompson, and even Todd Anderson to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So...
It's just I'm sure this made sense for the tournament. At least I hope. It sounds like all of the groups of four thing was needlessly complicated, with some people having to play an extra match because reasons and other people not, but whatever. But yeah, the way that it's laid out on the website is actual crap.
You know what would be really good? And I don't do coding. I don't do websites. So I have no idea if this is viable. But if you just had a list of the 16 players, you could click on a player, and it would, every time you click their name, it would show you each round who they played and what the result was. And when you got to their elimination, it would get a big red cross over them, and then you could click on another player in the list.
I don't think that would be that hard to set up on a
list. If you stored it in a proper database, you could do that.
Yeah, it would take effort for someone to put together, though, which...
It would take effort for someone to put together once. After that, you would just feed the database.
This tournament ended less than 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
And
but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you wanted that kind of thing to exist, you could code it to run off a database. You would just have to make sure that once the tournament's over, all that information was captured in that database, upload it, and then the whole thing could render itself. You could totally do that.
I also know that they were there very late Saturday night doing this. It's possible that they all had the day off today and that this will be done tomorrow. I'll give them a pass for now.
No. For something like this that Star City's been hyping, that should have been set up already. Like, that's the sort of thing, if they were going to do it, it would have been ready to be on the website live. Yeah.
Like, the articles and the deck text, no, they might not have that yet. But something to follow the structure, because regardless of who ends up in those slots, they knew that that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So
whatever the case.
I'm thinking this is more for the live viewers than for the rest of us schlubs. Like I said, I'm almost certain this made perfect sense while you were watching it.
The reason it was done this way, I know this, is that with a 16-person tournament that they need to spread over 2 days, they tried to make them as many matches mean something as possible, which this format does. And like you said, it's great for people watching it. I wasn't able to watch much this weekend because Christmas is coming and I have a lot to do. But I know that the matches I did watch, you know, you had two people who might have had 500 records but were still playing for something meaningful, which you don't get at a GP or a Pro Tour or anything.
Right, because you can't afford that at a GP because there's thousands of people. But in a tournament like this, like I said, it made sense for the tournament itself. Yes. But yeah, so Joe Lissette won.
Good
spoilers.
Oh man.
And we'd tell you more, but we can't find it. So, like, there's not even a write-up on the finals. That's the part that trips me out.
Yeah, that does surprise me. There's not even a direct.
Well, you've essentially created your own unique finals event. You'd think they'd be talking about that more than anything else.
Right. Now, but whatever. Like, that might be what they got the day off, and that'll be up tomorrow. Now, that would not surprise me at all.
Because they have to render and split the clips up and everything, and yada yada.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that we should probably point out, there was no innovation in any of the decks, really. And even if there were, it would be very specifically tuned to the 16-person metagame, or 15-person metagame, really, that they expected to face. So don't look at these lists and think it's hot new breakout tech. It's actually hot new metagame crushing tech.
Yeah. All right, then. So all that said, I hope this was their first, like, big crazy Players Championship, right?
No, third.
Third? Yep. No, I mean, like, huge in size Players Championship. Like, this one was like 50 grand, right?
Third.
Really?
Yep. Brad Nelson won one, Kevin Jones won one.
Were they this big, though?
Yep.
Oh.
But Have they done the three format thing before? Like, yes. Specifically three format finals?
Yes.
Okay. I just didn't notice that in the past.
This is.
I knew that they did the three format thing. I just didn't know if they did three format finals.
There will be no more. Well, next year there isn't scheduled to be one. It may come back, but.
Yeah, I mean, they can't do it anymore. Legacy's dead.
Oh my God.
Which is obviously why they're not covering GP Louisville.
Yeah, it's done now.
Eh. Okay, so that leads us almost organically into the next bit of news here.
God, such skill.
They did, in organized play on the website, the Magic website, that is, the 2017 live video coverage at a glance went up, except it's really not, but you know, whatever. It showed what they are doing in the first 2 months of 2017. So coverage, January 7th through the 8th, will cover the Sunday Super Series Championship and an Aether Revolt pre-release. Now, if the dates January 7th through the 8th sound familiar, well, that's the same date as Grand Prix Louisville, which is one of the, I think, four Legacy Grand Prix that we get.
That number seems high, but I'll allow it to be too lazy.
It's three or four.
It's something ridiculously.
I don't think we actually know, because I think they only gave us the GP schedule through half of the year, right?
I think so.
And there were only like one or two on it, so.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're essentially not doing coverage for one of the rare Legacy GPs.
Yeah, instead they're doing coverage for the final Sunday Super Series Championship, a thing, a program that was doing poorly enough that they decided to kill it.
Sir, I'd like to call you up on a couple of things there, sir.
Okay.
The first being, I don't think the Super Sunday Series was doing that poorly. I just think nobody really cared about it enough for them to continue it. Also,
which is what I mean.
We have no evidence of them discontinuing it, since all of the 2017 GP fact sheets that have been published announced the Super Sunday Series is taking place on Sunday of the GP. Despite the fact that they very publicly announced that the Super Sunday Series was not happening anymore.
Okay, I was going to say, wait, no, they definitely announced that.
Wait, oh, I'm sorry, did you want consistency?
Yeah, well, I mean, that is
Judge!
Just, you're cute.
That is just the usual WotC not being good with their website, you know, copy-pasting and not actually fixing things. But, yeah, I mean, this seems like a bad call. Like, I sort of get that they want to send off the Sunday Super Series with a final coverage hurrah, but I wonder if there's some other reason to not cover Louisville. Where is the Sunday Super Series Championship? Is it in
Renton, Washington?
Okay, I wonder if that has something to do with it.
Guess what it's really cheap to do?
Drive to work every day, Morrow. So
my guessing is that coverage team will be Marshall Sutcliffe, lives in Seattle, Kenji Egashira, lives in Seattle, and probably BDM doesn't live in Seattle. And they don't have to fly any of their production equipment.
Well, it's also possible that because it does the multi-series thing, if you're going to give an Aether Revolt pre-release event with it, you might actually want them to at least talk about Standard as opposed to Legacy, which we all know doesn't really bring much of anything into Wizards and hype mode.
Well, this is the point. Legacy is a great format for people who are already emotionally invested in the game and even specifically in Legacy. The problem is it's not particularly interesting to watch for most people, especially if you get Delver Mirrors or Miracles versus Lands or any of those other really slow, grindy, decision-intensive matches that don't show how deep the game is on the board, therefore making it very difficult to follow. People don't play as much rogue stuff in Legacy, and there aren't as many explosive plays, so it's a really bad format for the casual viewer.
It's also not one that people are just going to jump out and get into.
Right, right. Because they can't unless they are rich.
Well, they'd have to be rich, but it's also a lot harder to grok Legacy than it is Standard, where you can go to the store and talk to your local people there. Whereas Legacy, you need to learn a whole lot of cards, a whole lot of mechanics. You have to learn a lot of the more fine points of the game than you probably have to do in Standard. Especially given you're dealing with old mechanics that aren't even what the cards say, thanks to years of errata.
What Oracle is.
There's a lot of investment in that versus, okay, we're going to sit here and we're going to do the Super Sunday thing. Here's some Standard and some Modern, which are formats we actually support and make us money.
And some Limited, I believe. But the thing about Legacy is you could say to an enfranchised Legacy player, my opponent plays Misty Rainforest. What deck is he on? And they will be able to narrow it down to one or two choices. And based on whether or not they crack right away, they might even be able to tell you straight away what deck they're on.
That's terrifying.
Yes. It's Infect, by the way. If they crack right away, it's Infect. If they don't, it's probably Saltai Delver.
Okay. That's the one I was thinking. Yay, I'm half of an enfranchised Legacy player.
Okay. Here's an easy one for you, Chewy.
Disappointed?
If they go Plains Go, what deck are they on?
Is it Wesco?
No, it's not Wesco. It might be Wesco, actually. I believe he plays the deck.
I'll say, Plains Go sounds like Death and Taxes.
You have got it in one, sir. As all imagine, people should be playing.
I can't imagine what else it would be where you don't do anything on turn one.
Well, you probably want to be casting an Aether Vial or Mother of Runes, but, you know, you can't have it always.
No, that's true. Anyway.
So yeah, the end of the day, we are not getting coverage of the first Legacy event of 2017.
And we're covering the last ever Super Sunday series. I was fortunate enough to be at GP Milwaukee where the last ever Super Sunday series qualifier took place, head judged by the incredibly entertaining Charles Ferguson, who will now forever after be known as Big Sunday.
All right then.
Sounds like a blues singer.
It does, yeah.
Sounds like a giant dessert.
Ah, a delicious blues singer.
Delicious blues singer is your show title.
Maybe not.
Probably not. There's also some kerfuffle because they're covering Grand Prix Prague instead of San Jose, but shut up.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Instead of getting this limited GP, you get that limited GP. So I don't understand why they're kerfuffle. But then there's the whole the way you fold a $50 bill thing that Magic players will complain about.
Because America-centric, of course, Chewy. Come
on. I mean, that's almost certainly it. Doesn't Channel Fireball do their own coverage?
Yes. Sorry, yeah, I thought you said SCG.
Would they be doing their own coverage of San Jose?
Maybe. They have to be contracted to do so. Like, you're not allowed to just show up and do coverage unless Wizard says you can.
Oh, okay. In that case, probably not.
Well, that's why SCG isn't doing coverage at Louisville.
Oh, I forgot Louisville was Star City.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there you go. All of these things. If you're complaining that they're covering Prague instead of San Jose, well, there are people in other parts of the world other than you, so be quiet. That is, you can go back and watch the VODs if you really want to watch it. It's fine.
It's also limited.
It's also, well, I mean, limited's pretty entertaining to watch.
No, it's great, but like, that's the fun thing. Like, it's limited. You can pretty much watch it wherever it is, and it'll be new and exciting. It's not like you shift metagames when you go abroad for limited.
In draft, sometimes you do. People value things differently.
Will there be a metagame for it at that point? Wait, when does the new set come out?
End of January.
Yeah, like this will be that obligatory limited GP before we get to a Pro Tour, right?
Correct.
Like there won't be a metagame yet, so.
That's fair, but it'll also be that nobody knows what they're doing, so everybody's testing something out, which will make it really interesting.
Yeah, and you can do that anywhere, so.
True, true.
Yeah.
Go get them, Prague. I mean, maybe this will be easier from the standpoint of, you know, wake up.
Also, added logic. The Pro Tour the next weekend is in Dublin, so it makes more sense to have the equipment already in Europe.
That makes a lot more sense, yeah. So, listen to that. Relevant.
I want to go to Dublin.
Me too.
Not for the Pro Tour, just for Dublin.
Sure.
Anyway, so moving on away from tournament coverage, let's go to other things that people complain about. Free cards.
Oh man, people hate those.
They really do. So, we have new F&M promos. January is the really very pretty Noose Constrictor.
Look all green.
Snack.
Look at him. Yes, this is Snack. February we have the Fortune's Favor with the, guess what's in my hand Sphinx.
Yeah, that's Morpheus Sphinx.
Yeah. You want the blue glow or the yellow glow?
Never eat yellow glow.
And then newly revealed in March, we get Incendiary Flow. Ooh.
That's a relevant card.
The conversation on the odds and ends that we had.
I don't remember this at all.
Sink in. I can't.
But it's a 3 damage for 2 to whatever, and if it would die this turn, exile it instead. Nice and super.
I appreciate the flavor text of Chandra. Here. I don't remember if it's like that in the original card or not.
It is.
Yeah. Yay, mouse over. Still cool.
I would really like to see at some point them bring back Jaya Ballard just to interact with Chandra. I don't care if she dies at the end of that set. Just, I really want to see those two have like a sarcasm off.
Wasn't it informally that they essentially made her to be Jaya Ballard so that they could have a clean break from the history of the game and just have Jaya 2.0.
Yes, but then they had to go and make reference to her on the Pyromancer's goggles.
Yeah. Because like Digimon, the main character always gets the same goggles.
Did we just have a Digimon reference?
I'm here.
I was going to say, well, I mean, we've got a Squee on the show.
That's it. I like how looking at the original art of Incendiary Flow next to the new one, it looks like it's sort of a during and after shot of the same monster getting torched.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Which is nice. I like that. I like when they have continuity in these things.
Not a before and after, because no.
Chandra doesn't think ahead. It's right now, and then, ooh, I burned that.
Oh, that's totally her leg there, too. Yeah.
When your BFF calls while you're making dinner. Oops, I got distracted.
So that's...
That's pretty cool, actually.
F&M there. We have new judge promos announced. All we have is a link to a Discord attachment.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know where this was announced or what anything, but whatever. So
if only you had a judge to tell you.
So why don't you tell us?
I miss clues.
Or give us a better link or something.
I don't actually have a better link. It is all over social media. So there are...
doesn't make it official.
It is official. The exemplar mailings are going out. If you don't know what the exemplar program is, it's basically the way that
then
judges...
bother Brian Prilliman because he loves it when you bother him about exemplar.
Yes, well, he is in charge of it.
He loves it. He only gets like one phone call.
Yes, we said foils, not files. You don't have to watch his cakes. The promos for this window, the exemplar program is basically how work, and sometimes the recipients of these recognitions get foils as a thank you for their great efforts and stuff. And normally you get 2 new foils and 2 older foils each window. This window we are getting Defense of the Heart and Xur the Enchanter, I believe.
Ooh.
As the old ones, and the new ones are Mystic Confluence from, I believe that was the Conspiracy, was it? No, it was Commander 2015, the monocolored one. Was that the monocolored one? I don't know. Whatever set Mystic Confluence was in, it was a Commander, which is the first time in foil, and Imperial Seal, which is the source.
That's a big one.
Eric Tudor. It is. Yeah, it's gonna be quite nice to get those if I'm lucky enough to receive any.
Mystic Confluence was from, yeah, 2015.
That, was that the monocolored one? I feel like, no, it was
2014 was the monocolored one, cause that was the Planeswalker one.
Yeah. Mono, the 2015 was the two colored one that had the, I had Daxos. That sounds right.
Sure. Yeah. At this point, and
in the past,
have heard us,
yeah.
At this point, people have heard me complain about this enough to know, Wizards releases so much nonsense anymore that I can't keep track.
And the years for Commander products don't actually matter.
Daxos the Returned was one of them, yes. See, if that's who you meant.
Yeah, the Commander products are great for Judge Foil farming because they don't release any foils in them. I just wish they'd release frickin' Containment Priest. Nothing. I'm fine.
Is that the one that's missing?
Mm-hmm. It's the one that I play in Legacy. Or I want to play in Legacy, but isn't available in foil, so I can't.
Oh, that's how that works.
Well, some people, their ego is slightly bigger than the deck choice.
Well, Chewie, you have seen my Legacy deck and the fact that it is all foil. So playing one non-foil card in an all-foil, otherwise all-foil Legacy deck is not an advisable thing to do. Judges do not like this.
So, all right, then.
Yeah. But yeah, those Judge Foils are pretty
cool. Super thick sleeves.
They will be coming.
I was going to say, just double sleeve it. No one will know the difference.
Coming soon to a judge's mailbox near you.
Yay.
Yahoo.
So the other thing that Magic players like to complain about are new cards.
No, really?
Not as much as free cards. They love to complain about free cards, but new cards they don't complain about so much. So on this show, we haven't talked about the kitty, have we? Cause it came out.
Didn't we talk about him last week?
No, cause he wasn't revealed till the 15th. The oath of the big kitty.
Oh, the oath of the big kitty's new. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, I had to read this on my other show, so you guys talk about the oath of Ajani.
Alright, the oath of Ajani, part of the ever-growing, oath cycle that started way back in, Gatewatch. So, green, white, legendary, and Bill. When Oath of Ajani enters the battlefield, put a plus...
Whoa. Are you there?
Did I disappear?
Yeah, you said legendary, and then you were gone.
That's weird. Okay, well...
That is weird. Okay, start over.
All right, so Oath of Ajani, green, white, rare, legendary enchantment. When Oath of Ajani enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. Planeswalker spells you cast cost one less to cast unless they're Tibble, because that one is a generic mana.
Oh, poor Tibble.
Poor Tibble.
And he is very poor.
He got that sweet new ride, though.
Yeah, that's great. So this card is it's interesting. The way it's structured, each of its abilities is good at a different point in the game.
Yes.
Which is different from the rest of the oaths, which are almost all mid-rangey, grindy things that you want sort of at some indeterminate point in the game and never want to lose. This one, you can play it early to make your planeswalkers cheaper, or you can play it late to go, my team is huge now! I like it.
I mean, yeah. It's pretty neat.
It's one of the ones you don't mind blinking.
Well, there aren't that many cards that blink enchantments.
Yeah, but if something's going to do it, it's going to be white.
Probably. Then again, you can just play a second one and get the effect again.
Yeah, which is fine too. I mean, this is one of those things where you just keep, you know, jamming those with your Sun Titan because you're not doing any of the efficient things to do with it.
Yeah, that would be terrible. I'd hate that.
It'd be really inefficient. But hey, you could do it. So that's Ajani. Ajani is joining the Gatewatch, bringing the number of participants in the Gatewatch to 6. So go team.
I was listening to another podcast with some dorks on it, and they said that Ajani was basically the slam dunkiest of slam dunks to ever join a Gatewatch. He was probably standing at the clubhouse door going, guys, can I be in the cool kids club now, guys? Guys, you let me in now. Guys, I have a litter box. I'm house trained and everything. So I guess it was like almost a certainty. Just certainty to happen at some point. Liliana's probably going to leave as soon as she finds the last demon that has part of her soul, with one being Kothafed and the other one being, what's that other one's name?
Sudafed.
I don't think we know the third one's name, do we?
No, the there's Kothafed and two others. I don't think we know the third one. We know the first one's name, but I can't remember it.
You're really working for this one, buddy.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Okay. Now I get what he's doing. No, I was like, okay, well, there's Kothafed. That's the one that nobody remembers. There's Grolbrand, which everyone remembers. So my brain just skipped over him entirely until I realized you were just trying to get me to say Grizzlebrand because you're a goober. Oh my God. Anyway, so we've also got another one.
Quite a few previews for a set that's not coming out yet.
There was the Quicksmith Spy, which is blue and three for a 2/3. When it enters the battlefield, choose an artifact you control, and it gains tap, draw a card for as long as you control Quicksmith Spy.
Was that the one that you had to sign into your account to see?
Possibly.
Until it hit Twitter, and then everyone saw it anyway?
Yeah.
Cool.
So people are saying, oh, this is a great combo. The city, they're saying congratulations and welcome to the thing that everybody already figured out.
Yay. Yeah, but we don't care about random things like that. We cover the big ones here on Monday Night Magic, and the other big one is we've seen the new Tezzeret.
And I'm so sad.
He is very sad. Why are you sad, Chris?
Because he's not called Head Judge Tezzeret.
Yeah.
He is in your heart.
He is. He is.
As in, like, he is grabbing for it with his hand. It's very creepy.
It is a little creepy.
That is, yeah.
That is not the come hither you want.
Those are some spooky fingers, sir.
So, can we get an altar of, instead of Tezzeret the Schemer, can we just get an altar where it's Tezzeret the Schumer and we get Amy Schumer in his place?
I'm sure someone would do that.
Let's hope so. Somebody do that and send it to me, would you? Not, like, online. I just want to see it.
So, I just want to know what he's going to be next, because he's been a Seeker, he's been a Schemer. Is he next going to be a Midnight Toker? Is that what comes next?
I mean, as long as he plays his music in the sun.
I'm a Schemer. It'd have to be some kind of Dreamer to match.
He could be a Dreamer in blue-black. Like, that'd be when he works for Una. It would work.
Ashiok's Dreamer.
Yeah, there we go.
We did it.
Oh my God. Anyway, so I'm going to read this one, because I haven't yet. Tezzeret the Schumer. For two a blue and a black, he starts with 5 loyalty.
That is not a small number.
It is really not. His +1 is create a colorless artifact token named Ethereum Cell.
Damn it, ooh.
With tap, sacrifice this artifact, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. I would like to point out what it boils down to is +1, add mana to your mana pool. Has that been done?
Yes, Socket Unbroken added a mana of any color and drew you a card.
Was that a plus?
Yes.
How come nobody played that card?
Because it cost 3 colors and not the right ones.
Well, that's the problem, that Teemer wasn't played. It did see some play. There was a Teemer Monstrous deck that's played it for a little while, or Teemer Devotion or whatever. And I loved the card, but I never really managed to make it work.
It's another of those cases of a great card that just didn't have a home in its standard.
Right, yeah. Exactly. The big thing to note about this, yes, it adds mana, but it also puts an artifact into your card, which can matter with things like Marionette Master, Disciple of the Vault, stuff like that.
Yep.
Aetherworks Marvel.
Plus, it doesn't actually just give you a mana. It can sit there until you need 2 mana next turn. Ah.
Or it gives you a mana on your opponent's turn.
Yep.
Which is relevant when you're playing blue, like you are.
Also, if you happen to be playing a more different Tezzeret, or even this Tezzeret, it could later become a 5/5.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right, so continue on to the minus 2.
His -2 ability, target creature gets +X/-X until end of turn, where X is the number of artifacts you control. Oh, look, it's a pump spell, it's a removal spell, yay.
It's a floor wax.
It's a dessert topping.
Given his spot on the curve, it's probably going to be a nameless inversion.
The inversion with no name.
Though it's funny because, you know, you've probably got some clue tokens lying around and other crap like that in this kind of deck too. So we'll see.
Yeah. And then his limit break for -7 is you get an emblem with at the beginning of combat on your turn, target artifact you control becomes an artifact creature with base power and toughness 5/5.
As my good friend Chewy is wont to say, there are some words that that ability does not include.
Yeah, it doesn't say until end of turn.
It does not, sir.
It does not say gains haste also. That's important.
Yes, that is a thing.
It also does not say screw you hippie, but that's less relevant.
Get a haircut.
Yeah. The artifact itself probably says that, yeah. But you know.
Yeah, I actually really like this card, but I like it because it's cool, not because I think it's excellent. I think it's a solidly average card, and like the other two Tezzerets before it, you basically have to build around it.
I think that one of the problems that we've encountered with Tezzerets in the past is that in order for them to work, you do have to build around them, but whatever you're doing in that deck has to be good enough that if you don't draw the Tezzeret, it's not a bad deck.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the case of this one, if you don't have your artifact density out, this is pretty awful. Because you cast it with no artifacts out, you can't kill anything with it, and then it's just going to get hit in the face as you add one of your mana back.
The good thing is, if you're playing this in, say, a Grixis or an Espa deck, that plus one can make you a mana to cast a Murderous Cut, a Dismember, a Lightning Bolt, a Path to Exile. So
yeah.
You can tap out for this and still kill something that's threatening it slash you.
Which you can do, but you're also sort of sitting in the space of, why didn't I just cast something else that was relevant or draw cards or whatever?
Sure.
I mean, like, I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm saying that you have to factor all of these things in when you decide you're going to run Tezzeret in your deck. And, like, of all of the Planeswalkers that have gotten multiple versions, I think Tezzeret has been the most greedy in terms of wanting you to build exactly around a very, very specific strategy.
Completely.
Like, out of the whole lot.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because when it works, it's amazing.
Even stuff like Ajani, which basically tells you to play creatures and Planeswalkers, doesn't feel like you're building around it. Because in green and white, that's probably what you're doing anyway. Whereas blue-black is not as much identified with the artifacts as red-blue would be. And blue-black often just wants to play a bunch of removal spells. So maybe we see a Grixis artifacts list that runs Tezzeret and Saheeli Rai and, like, removal spells, prisms, maybe a Metalwork Colossus-type build. Maybe that's somewhere that this deck could go.
Yeah, or maybe it'll end up in, like, an Esper-style deck eventually, because white tends to get a little support for the artifacts as well, given vehicles and stuff.
Yep.
Like, there's options here, but you'll have to build for it. I'll be interested to see where it goes, but I've learned after several Tezzerets at this point that there's always really cool stuff that they can do, but the question is always, is there something better you could be doing in that deck? And usually the answer is yeah. So, we'll see. It'll be neat. In the meantime, Tezzeret's looking pretty snazzy. It looks like he's gone shopping with Tybalt, maybe got picked up in the new ride and they rolled over, and now he's just chilling. I don't know what he's doing on this plane. I need to catch up on the actual story.
He's trying to get Rashmi's matter transporter.
Oh, but that's a thing to do.
I hate it when that happens.
Right?
I mean, what was the last time that we saw Tezzeret before this?
He was
hanging out on Mirrodin.
That's what I thought, as an agent of Bolas. And we know where Bolas is at right now.
Wasn't
like he's an Amon Kett, so.
Either in flavor text or in artwork of some cards in RTR. I'm pretty sure we saw him in something in the RTR block.
It feels like we've seen him more recently than Scars.
Yeah, let me see if I can't work some magic here. I'm pretty sure, advanced search, flavor text.
I'm already there.
Me?
Okay, he was seen in, ultimatums, yeah, Dynavolt Tower, yeah, that's all from here. Why did I search this way? Sort by standard, okay.
It wouldn't be.
I don't recognize these symbols. Okay, that is New Phyrexia. That is Mirrodin Besieged. How about this? Nope, that's Conflux.
So looking at his page on the Planeswalker Stories, and I don't know if this is current or not, but it has Kaladesh on it. Planes Visited just lists Alara, which we knew from his origin, and Esper. We have New Phyrexia, which is what we were just talking about, and Kaladesh. They've only listed three planes for him.
Yeah, he has not been seen in flavor text outside of Commander products.
Which might be what you're thinking of.
Since New Phyrexia.
But I could have sworn
that he was Jace, not named in Flavor Text, okay. Let's put it that way.
Didn't Jace kick him out of the Guild Pact on Ravnica, and that's why Jace is now the living Guild Pact? Like, didn't he take over from... No, that was on Alara. Never mind.
He took over the consortium.
Like in Esper.
Yeah.
No, the consortium was on Ravnica. Or at least that's where Jason... That was in one of the books. That was not in one of the...
Oh, you're talking about the...
That was in the Jace Planeswalker novel.
The book that came with the card that people for some reason care about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. We got there. I
remember the name of the Jace Planeswalker novel, though.
Agents of Artifice?
No, wasn't that the Brothers War book?
No. Agents of Artifice, yes. Good job, Bill.
Random knowledge.
You are a winner.
Am I? I remember the book. I didn't read it, though, so maybe I'm still a winner.
It actually wasn't that bad. The Chandra novel that came after was less good, and then they stopped.
And then Karn sucked.
What? No, they didn't do any more Planeswalker novels.
Oh, it wasn't a Planeswalker novel. It was like the quest for Karn was the bad one, though, right?
Oh, yeah, basically any of those.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. Well, yeah, so essentially we have New Tezzeret. May or may not be awesome. I'm sure you'll see it at your... You know, game day, kitchen table.
They did do a third one. It was called Test of Metal. Yes. Who the hell was in that?
It was awful. Absolutely terrible.
Oh, so that was... Oh, that's the... It's got Tezzeret on the cover. Oh, okay.
Well, that's sad.
Wait.
Don't read it.
So this is where... Okay, this is where... Hang on. This is where Tezzeret... Okay, so Jace knocked him out, and then Nicol Bolas picked him up. And then after that, we saw him on New Phyrexia. So yeah, that's the last place we saw him was New Phyrexia.
Okay, so it's been a bit.
We were just all very confused about the timeline. Yeah. We were all right. It's just I was the most right.
I wasn't right, because I thought for sure he was in the RTR block. Maybe he
I
was
mean,
just
that all happened on Ravnica, so at least you had the right set.
There you go. I feel better now.
As well you should.
I blame time travel and Tarkir.
As well you should.
Stupid Sokin.
So, let's go on to other things. Let's go back to Tournament Magic, shall we?
I guess so.
So, Sam Stoddard.
Yeah, great guy.
Yes. Tweeted on the 13th of December, on a scale of 1 to 10.
This was bad.
What do you think of the current standard environment now that it's about over, 10 being the best?
Oh, Sam. Why, Sam?
And there was a lot more negativity and backlash on this than I expected.
I think it's a lot more than he expected, too.
I guess you haven't been playing standard ever.
Dude, this standard, even though it's all smugglers, copters, and Emrakul, it still seems better than Coco standard.
It's not smugglers, copters, though. That's the thing. Smugglers, copter is basically MIA right now. It's all Delirium and Aetherworks Marvel.
Okay, well, if you mean right now as in the last 2 weeks, then yeah, okay.
But
before that, it was all smugglers, copters, and Emrakul.
It's...
And occasionally vehicles.
And occasionally...
There it is. Okay, we're 3 for 3. We can stop now. So...
Oh my god!
No, there's actually one more, but I'm not sure how I'm going to slip it in. It's been a really weird standard season, because to start with, we had vehicles everywhere, and yep. The format was solved. And then the Pro Tour happened, and it was blue-white flash everywhere, and black-green delirium everywhere. And
the format, was solved.
And then it was somewhat vehicles and mostly delirium, and the format was solved. Then it was delirium and flash, and then it was delirium and Marvel, and then it was Marvel and different builds of Marvel. And it's always been two decks dominating, but it's never the two same decks. But people always complain that it's...
Isn't that good?
Yes, it should be.
I mean, you'd think so.
But people are just complaining constantly, oh, there's only two decks you can play in this format. But it's the different two decks every week.
Right. So anyway, after that, not that I have the same following as Sam Stoddard, but I did throw on Twitter, like, so why are people not happy with Standard? And the options that I gave them were specifically, like, so just the wording. Regarding negative view of Standard, is it Standard itself or maybe gamer fatigue after so many close together sets and tournaments? 39% of people said the current Standard was bad. 42% said they were just in general tired. And 19% said it was great. And some of the comments in there largely boiled down to, I'm really sick of Emrakul. And
really? A 13-13 flying trampler that's hard to remove and is a mind slaver is making people sick.
Apparently it happening as fast in the game as it does is making people sick.
Who could have seen this coming?
Nahiri is why she did it.
Oh, right, yeah.
But yeah, like, I can see that. Like, I haven't played this standard, and I'm squarely in that middle category of I just haven't felt like playing standard Magic in literally over a year. There's not even a reflection of the sets themselves. I've just been tired because I've been gung-ho on Magic for so long that I eventually hit the point of like, I'll just sit this one out and have money instead. It's been pretty nice.
Yeah, but you are not the target audience.
No,
for this question.
And I'm not. But I mean, that's sort of the thing is I think that a lot of people, or at least in the subset of people that follow me for whatever reason, I think there's a lot of just general, we've been having so much, so many products, standard moves, you know, so fast. We did the rotations. We've got a lot of like crazy formats that, you know, more or less like hit their soft spot quickly and then lingered for a while that it doesn't really matter what the standard is. They're all just tired and given an opportunity to complain, they do. But I don't know. Like, I am curious because it's the Sam Stoddard thing definitely looks like a lot of people are really upset with what me as an outsider sees as a good format. So I'm curious to hear more about this.
So the problem with the format is that the top decks are not fun to play against. If you consider that the three top decks are Flash, Marvel, and Delirium. So Blue-White Flash is your stereotypical blue-white tempo control deck that just makes you hate your life and everything in it. Everything you do, they have the answer for.
So Delver.
No, way worse than Delver, because Delver at least killed you quickly.
So Fairies?
I didn't play during
Ooh.
Fairies.
Ooh, that hurts.
But possibly Fairies.
I mean, Fairies would kill you on, like, turn... Well, it would have you dead about turn 5, but it would actually kill you on, like, turn 7 or 8.
So not as bad as the Yvonne Flock zero win condition blue-white control decks. Let's put it that way. So you've got that. You've got Black-Green Delirium, which is just grindy as all heck and beats you by taking control of your turn and just using your own resources to wreck your board state, which is never fun.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
And then you have Marvel, which is as close to spin that wheel as you can get. You know, you could be completely dominating the game. They have nothing on the board. They tap four mana. They cast a Marvel. And then all of their stupid puzzle nuts that have gained them 6 life over the course of the game all of a sudden are just Russian roulette, because at some point you're going to hit an Emrakul and then you're going to win.
So that's probably more akin to like when we had the what?
It's a ramp deck without ramp, basically.
Yeah, so it's like you're playing an what am I trying to remember? The ridiculous big Craterhoof Behemoth type decks, but you don't ramp into it. You just tough your way there.
Except that you're kind of ramping. You're just ramping energy instead of mana.
Okay. I don't know. Like, all of these things, is the problem that there's just no mid-range deck? Is that why people are angry? That they can't just show up and actually play, like, a Magic deck with a curve and win?
I think so. I think, like, well, Delirium is as close as it gets to that, but that isn't really mid-range.
Yeah. Because I will say that when it comes to Magic standard formats, if there's not a mid-range option which plays, you know, normal Magic where you play a few low drops, you play some mid drops, you play something big and you try to win, then I think that really pushes a lot of people out of comfort.
Yeah. The format needs a deck that's 45 to 55% against everything. And like Delirium is close to that, but Delirium is like 35% against Marvel if you're being generous.
So you're more rock, paper, scissorsing, and that's what people are upset about?
The problem is no, because Flash Delirium is really close, and if the skill level is at all disparate, the blue-white Flash player doesn't need to be much better than the Delirium player to be favored. So it's a very weird metagame. There's not a lot of room to brew because the decks that are dominant attack from such different angles that you can't really brew anything that attacks them all. So it's almost like Modern in that you can go into a tournament with a great deck that beats 2/3 of the field, but if your matchup is exclusively from the other third, you're never going to win a game.
Okay, which is frustrating.
It is incredibly frustrating. Yeah. That's what happened to me at the Invitational. I went in with Marvel in Standard and faced 0 green-black decks, which was the best matchup for the deck, and only played against the decks that I have real trouble beating, which is a bunch of control decks with counter spells.
So in a healthier format, then you could have the same distribution of decks, but they'd be closer together so that play skill could eke out. If there's sufficiently more play skill on the underdog, they can still win it.
Right.
Whereas here, it's a lot more out of your hands.
The other alternative is to make a format where there are so many viable archetypes that you can't really metagame. So you just go in with a deck that you know and hope that your familiarity gets you through the rougher matchups.
Like Legacy.
And Modern to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But the problem is, with Standard, you don't really have the card pool to do that.
Right.
And well, Standard, you have like 8 to 10 people working on making the cards to make the decks that they want to see dominate, and multiple thousand people trying to break them.
Right. So then here's the question for you. So we're going to have a new set come out in about a month.
Yep.
Which will add some new cards to the card pool. After that, and it's Pro Tour when, you know, we crack into all the stuff and all the things like we normally do, we will get to Amonkhet. And we will not be rotating because they said that we're not doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be curious when we get to that point whether or not rotation would have been a good thing based on the opinion that people have of the standard at the time.
So if you look at the cards that people are fed up with, I think one of them comes from BFC. So I don't think we're going to notice it much. We'll notice it more next year when we would be looking for Shadows to rotate and take Spellqueller and Emrakul and Ishkanah with it.
Well, that's still going to happen, isn't it?
No. The rotation of that's been delayed a year. When BFZ rotates is when Shadow should be rotating, if I understand this correctly.
I thought they were going away at the same time.
No. We rotate a block at a time, right?
Well, we rotate in the fall. Like,
yes.
We aren't doing spring rotations, so
no, we're rotating in the fall, but only one leaves. You don't lose two blocks.
But there are two blocks in a year. Otherwise,
it'll just be a progressively growing standard.
Yeah.
Am I misunderstanding the way this entire thing works?
Yeah, there are two blocks per year, which means every time that there's a rotation, we're going to be losing two blocks. Otherwise, if you only lose one block, that means every year standard grows by one.
We're essentially back to old standard. There are just two blocks and then two blocks rather than a big three-set block and a core set. Because we're still only doing rotations in the fall.
Right.
Okay, so...
Okay, so when they redid it, it was going to rotate twice a year, right? And we were going to lose one block at a time, yeah. Right?
Yes.
But then they reneged on that and said, wait, no, we're going back to the old way. So now there's going to be one rotation and we're going to lose a whole year's worth, which is two blocks.
Okay, yeah, that is what it appears to be.
Yeah.
So we're going to lose battle at the same time we lose shadows, pretty much like old rotation.
There's not much in battle and oath right now that is dominant. Now there's time for that to change when Aether Revolt and again when Amonkhet comes out. But...
Ooh, I don't know, man. There's that, what's it called? Deploy the Gatewatch? I hear that's been killing things.
I'm mostly a modder. But no, so I don't think we're going to miss that right now. Like right now, if you were to say to me, do you think we should have rotated Battle for Zendikar? I'd be like, well, it wouldn't make any difference. We're not going to see much that we are playing with right now. Even Sylvan Advocate isn't seeing a lot of play.
But Gideon's got to drive two cars.
Oh, that's true. He can do that now. That's going to be great. But that might be a thing. Who knows? We haven't seen the rest of Aether Revolt. We don't know how that's going to play out. It is an interesting thought exercise. I think right now the answer would be no, but as I said, there's plenty of room for that to change.
Okay.
Yeah.
In closing, screw Flanders.
Stupid, sexy Flanders.
Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all.
All right. Well, with that statement, let's move on.
That said, the show title could be nothing at all.
Possibly. So, one more small thing at the various big box stores like Walmart and Target, who can feel free to give us money for sponsorship if they like.
Capitalist pigs.
There's a thing, yes, there's a thing, cause I need money. Because bills. Not you, Bill. The kind you have to pay. Oh,
right.
Yeah, not like you at all. there's a thing called the Magic the Gathering Mystery Box, which, according to my co-host here who blew this up so they could read it, there are 6 booster packs from recent Magic the Gathering sets.
But what's in it?
But they're sealed up in a box.
But what's in them?
six. Shut up.
Is it a mystery?
Yeah, you don't know which six you get.
So you're saying that there could be anything in that box?
No, it says recent Magic the Gathering six.
Could it be a boat?
It is not a boat.
Might be a boat.
I mean, you could get Kaladesh boosters and you get Sky Sovereign, whatever it's called.
Space boat!
Yeah, so that's a boat. That's a sky boat.
Stop. For the love of God. This is just typical for Monday Night Magic. I don't know what I expected.
You're the one instigating it.
It's true.
Partly true. This is really interesting. I think we've all been to big box stores and seen them making these giant bundles of nonsense with just like, this is a commander deck that somebody opened to steal the valuable cards out of that we can't sell. Throw it in a box with some other crap.
Just to clarify, in my experience, they take out the giant oversized cards and you get the entire commander set in there. But they're also not like, this is WotC licensed exactly that. It's generally a repackage.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this looks WotC licensed because it's got the Magic the Gathering logo on it. It's got art from, of Jace Valerian that I have never seen.
No.
No, what?
I don't think I have seen it either. Looked kind of familiar, but no, I'm pretty sure I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool that it looks like WotC has made these things specifically for the big box places, possibly to stop the crappy repackaging thing.
Which they allow.
Cut into it. Yeah.
The restrictions on big box stores are quite tight, so I would be very surprised if this wasn't something that they threw them a bone with to sort of say, oh, we know you are stuck with all these booster packs that you can't sell because Magic players are too smart to buy them from you. So
pretty much,
here's this bone that we're going to throw you. I mean, what's this, just over $4 a pack? Is that good?
Yeah, if the price tag in this picture underneath it is, in fact, it goes with this, then it's $24.98, $25 for six.
That sounds about market, right?
I mean, I have
that's how much it would cost to buy them, but here you are, here's six.
I have a feeling it would be really interesting to like have eight people buy these and do a sealed deck tournament. Because you have no idea what's in there.
If it's anything like history shows, a bunch of core sets no one wants.
Yeah.
I don't know, it says recent. I guess it depends on your their definition of recent.
Well, I would imagine it's not going back further than Origins.
Yeah, almost certainly.
I have no basis for that assumption.
Gut instinct.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe one of us should take a trip down to a local big box store and try it for science.
I mean, I'm not spending $25 on six packs of Magic I don't want. I'm good.
Not spending probably $40 in Canada at Walmart, so I'm also good. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, there's that. Hey, Bill. Don't bother, Bill. No one cares. You're good.
Now, I've decided that since Clues isn't here, I've pulled up Reddit where people have already bought this crap. And I'm scrolling through to see what they got. So this person, they bought two of them. Both of them had Return to Ravnica as the mystery pack, because apparently you can see what the rest of the packs are on the front. All right, here you go. So this person says you get one Kaladesh, one Battle, one Oath, one Shadows, one Moon, and then one Mystery Pack, which in their case was Return to Ravnica.
So that's actually pretty good value.
So you get one of each of these standard legal sets and then another thing.
Huh.
That's pretty neat.
Okay, my opinion on these is changing slightly.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the actual cover art of, you know, the Jace picture, you can see all of the packs but one, and they're all the recent ones. So, yeah, it looks like the mystery is just whatever the sixth one is.
I did not realize that was actually what was in it, though. I thought that was like a, here's an example.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too, but now that someone...
The product may not be exactly shown.
Yeah.
Enlarged to show texture. Okay, so Return to Ravnica has a chance at some sweet stuff. Foil Abrupt Decay. Sphinx's Rev. What else was in that set? Shocks.
Shocks
are quite good. Yeah. I'm sure there's something glaring I'm missing, but yeah, sounds cool.
Was Return to Ravnica the one that had our one mana planeswalker?
Yes. That was, however, the value on that has been substantially reduced by Eternal Masters.
Yeah, I can see that. Thanks, Eternal Masters.
And of course, Abrupt Decay had a promo printing on Magic Online. which may at some point make its way into paper. They do tend to do that at some point.
Aren't redemptions for that over by now?
Oh yeah, the redemptions are done, but if a promo shows up on Magic Online, at some point it's probably going to show up in paper as well.
Oh, because there's new art?
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, why commission art for something that you can't? Well, I mean,
apart yeah. from the reserve. I mean, sometimes they show up in dual decks or something, but regardless, a new printing is a new printing.
Yeah.
So I get you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey guys, I hate to do this. I have to step away. So,
I can ramble about Magic Online for a bit.
If you start talking to me and I'm not here, it's cause I'm not here.
Oh, okay.
Who said that? It sounds like somebody said that who isn't here.
It was clues. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll jump into the Magic Online updates cause this is probably the last Magic Online update you're going to get out of me this year. So as a final reminder, Magic Online updates usually go up on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. This is recorded on Monday, so most of my stuff's a week old. I'm going to try to hit the news that's still relevant for you in a manner that is hopefully helpful, but if you want to have the most current Magic Online news, you pretty much have to go to the Wizards website and then click your way through products to Magic Online and see what's there, or keep up with the Magic Online Tumblr, which sometimes gets news that isn't posted on the website for some reason. But anyway, so starting out, we have the weekly Magic updates dated to, last Tuesday, the 13th. They had as we already reported, the Vintage Cube going up early. So you can see, information on that, including the full card list linked from here on the website. And, it's important to note that the last downtime of the year is going to be on the 21st. So this coming Wednesday, if you are planning on putting in for any redemptions, you better hurry up and do that because otherwise it'll be a little bit. They had some events this past weekend. They are now sort of shifting their way through into essentially end of year stuff. So I'm going to jump around a little bit because there's actually a logic flow to some of this. So first of all, we have the bug blog update from the 15th last week. The bug blog keeps track of known existing issues. It lets you know when things are fixed, but more importantly, it tells you what the new messed up things are, which is fun to keep track of because while you certainly shouldn't take advantage of any of these glitches if they're favorable, you should know what is out there so that you can hopefully avoid having to deal with it and putting in for reimbursement. So the new gameplay issues that are known listed in this article are that basic snowlands are incorrectly considered legal in standard format games.
Oh boy.
Which is pretty funny. Obviously if you put basic snowlands in your standard deck, it's not going to do much beyond make it clear that you're doing something you know you shouldn't. So don't do that. Non-land permanents that have become lands due to an enchantment, such as Imprisoned in the Moon, do not trigger the third ability of the Gitrog monster when put into a graveyard. So that's kind of sad. I guess they don't count as lands, so you don't get to draw a card. That's unfortunate. I guess be aware of that, although I imagine it's kind of niche.
If you play Commander Online, that's probably going to come up at some point.
You mean that if someone, like, you know, turns one of your guys into a land and you kill it? Yeah, that's true. I could see that. All right, banned cards appear in your collection while searching, while Modern, Legacy, or Commander filters are selected. So I guess when you're trying to search, you can find cards that are banned. So be aware of whether or not the cards in your deck are legal.
Like Gleamox.
And that's sort of the segue into the next most amazing thing. So Gleamox is an interesting joke. Do you want to explain some of the background on it, or should I?
Go ahead, because I don't know the full story.
Okay, so a long time ago, there was a running gag with Gleamax. Gleamax was sort of a running, like, brain in a jar kind of joke from old, old Magic stuff.
Wasn't it from The Duelist?
It might have started in The Duelist. Like, this is before my time, too. Yeah, I mostly know Gleamax from the Uncard.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is that Gleamax is essentially a super sentient brain that has taken over Wizards of the Coast and is, you know, messing with stuff. And the only way that you can get a help message out is to hide it in the flavor text since Gleamax can't read it. And, you know, funny, ha-ha, running joke. Well, a little bit ago, they made Gleamox, which is a horrible pun, so you know that it was probably spawned by a judge. Gleamox is, like all Moxen, a zero mana artifact with tap, add one mana of any color to your mana pool. that sounds super broken. It totally is. The remaining text on the card says this card is banned. So the card itself says that it is banned. That is the running joke. You know, a promo version of it's floating around online because funny. Great. Well, apparently right now you can actually put Gleemox in your deck. And that's not cool because you shouldn't. Like it was a digital only promo card that was put out way, way back when, Wizards made Gleemax their social media site. So like this is pretty ancient by Magic Online standards as well. But, it's apparently legal in Commander, Legacy, and Vintage right now. It's not even restricted in Vintage. So you could totally throw in four of them. Don't do that. This card is banned.
There was somebody playing them in a Vintage last night on someone else's stream.
Yeah. So as a reminder, if you are doing something that you know is illegal, like say the card is telling you that it is banned and you're still running it, you're cheating. You're taking advantage of a bug. You will get in trouble. If you're playing Magic Online and you see someone playing against you in any event and they're running a card like Gleemox, which again is illegal in whatever format you see it in, immediately click the support button, report it. That's something that has to be taken care of. This is obviously like a silly oversight that should have been handled, but nonetheless, be aware that that's out there. Report it if you see it. Don't do it.
It says it right there on the card.
Yeah. This isn't like an ambiguous Oracle joke. No, the words in the rules text say this card is banned. So don't do that. If you have this card, then odds are you've been playing long enough to know better. So
I don't even care about it in Commander. If you say to people, hey guys, Gleemox is in my deck, cool. And they all say, sure, fine.
Or if you're saying like, you know, if you were somehow playing this in paper, just to make a stretched example of, I have a real Mox and I don't want to play with a real Mox. Can I use Gleemox as my stand in? And you're not doing this in like a big tournament. Your friends might be okay with that. You still run it by them. But in Magic Online, where there's no danger to playing with your super rare, awesome magical cards, then no, don't take advantage of a system bug.
Are you saying that my cards aren't going to get damaged by me shuffling them online?
If you were shuffling your monitor, something will get damaged.
Oh, okay.
So just don't do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a new bug that I'm sure will get listed the next time they do it. Any kind of online update for the bug list, but we're probably not going to see that till January because they do bug blogs less frequently.
Actually,
now.
I think it was tweeted today that they fixed it already.
Oh, okay. Well, then you may never hear about it. beyond now. So now you know we have a record of this. So moving along, we've got the Year of Modern is pretty much in wrap-up mode now. The Year of Modern began at the start of the year with the first set of Modern, and they went through week-to-week different limited formats for drafting, skipping out whenever they had pre-releases going on for new sets. And right now they're resolving the full Return to Ravnica block with Dragon's Maze, Gatecrash, RTR, which I talked about for a bit last week about how complicated and weird it was. Moving into the last set of this for the year, they're doing Magic 2014 core set. Magic 2014 core set had a cycle of slivers. It actually had more than a cycle, but there was at least one sliver in each color. It had Mutavault, which was also a sliver and was around to warp standard as it does. You had Chandra Pyromaster, who was debuting the amazing red, I draw a card, but just for this turn ability that I think was just a good idea all around and felt very natural in red. And none of that matters because you're probably just going to be playing mono blue opportunity divination deck.
Oh God, yes you are.
Because the fact of the matter was, for various reasons, that limited format was super friendly to running a lot of card draw and a few win conditions.
It was really slow.
Like, it was ridiculous to actually watch in practice. Like, I stopped playing it after a bit because you could sit down for a draft and three of the eight people could be forcing mono blue.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of them could be running a deck that has maybe four or five non-spell cards. And everything else could be tempos, counterspell, and card draw. And it would work because they could slow the game down enough that they could reach the point where they just cast a big spell and draw four cards, or they put a bunch of your cards on top of your library or something, And they would just get to whatever they need to beat you. And they could do that. And they could do that well enough that multiple people could be on this plan fighting for one color, and it would still pay off. Now, there were other decks, and there were other ways to play that format. I'm not saying that it's just like blue crazy, but the balance was way off. And that's probably one of the most lopsided color limited formats that I can immediately recall.
It's also funny because the format was incredibly fun to play if you were in blue and not otherwise.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. Like, if you look to people reviewing the set, the people that played the blue deck loved it. And not just because it was good, but because it really rewarded all the things that they like in standard decks. You could play it as a control deck and actually get the cards together to make it happen.
It felt like cheating when you cast your second opportunity of the match.
Yeah, and that's absurd. And you could. Like, that was all stuff that could happen. It was an interesting thing. Like, the set itself had other cards in it. It had some good color hosers. It had, a lot of fun stuff. Like, you could actually try to make the slivers thing work. And, like, there were some good slivers in that one that actually worked well together. The one blue sliver was the one that gave them flying, and you could splash that in on, like, your buff, like, green-white sliver deck and just go Bant slivers and crush people.
There was some decent fixing in the set as well, if I remember.
I think so, yeah. I think it had some good fixing. It wasn't a bad set. It was just stuck under the boot of a blue control archetype that was really well supported.
Update on Gleemox. They said they fixed it. It's still legal in Legacy.
It's possible that Gleemax is screwing with us. because Gleemax controls the WotC staff, as we know.
Of course.
Who knows? Or maybe that's actually the thing. They've managed to, you know, trick Gleemax into going into Legacy, and then they're just going to cut Legacy off so that it's trapped forever.
Dead.
Completely over. So, anyway, that's the Magic 2014 format that's going to be going to affect this week's downtime, and it'll stick around for a week. Because it's the end of the year, and they're, for the most part, running out of Modern, they're getting pretty close to Recent. Like, they've still got some left, but not enough to sustain another year. They're going to be doing things a little bit differently next year. So they wanted to keep doing something like the Modern Flashbacks. In the article that they put up here, they've got two goals that they want to establish. The first one is to continue doing week-long opportunities to explore or relive a part of Magic's history. And then after the first few weeks in a new Magic set, they want to have alternate offerings available for people to participate in. So after you get tired of the new stuff that comes out, you can power through something else to keep it interesting. Mm-hmm. So first thing that they're throwing up here are flashback favorites. Essentially what they're going to do is they're going to look over the most popular draft formats in Magic Online history from both before Modern and after, and they're going to, you know, run events doing those. They're going to do them a little bit differently, though. So players appreciated keeping their cards, and they want to keep that part of the experience, so these are not Phantom events. You'll get to keep your cards.
Whoop, whoop.
However, many players were frustrated by the single elimination nature of the league, so based on this, they're looking at options for a structure that wasn't single elimination but still rewards strong finishes while also awarding a similar number of prizes. So the way that it's going to work are they're going to do leagues, because leagues are pretty much, once Magic Online finally got to the point of having them, they want to use them for practically everything, which I think is totally valid because leagues are great and they make things a lot easier for other people. The one drawback is that when it comes to drafting, playing against people from pods outside of your draft pod is a different experience than if you were playing it at a store in a tournament. So that's something to remember. But yeah, they're going to be picking different, you know, classic formats for limited, and they're going to be doing flashback favorite league. The other thing that they're doing are throwback standard gauntlet series. So if you've ever seen gauntlet events in Magic Online before, the idea is that you sign up to play in the event, and rather than bringing in a deck or drafting a deck, you will be given a deck, a full deck list based on typically something that's recently won in a big event, like, you know, play your way through the last Pro Tours decks or something like that. For these ones, they're going to be doing, essentially, they'll be starting with early Magic all the way back in the 90s, and they'll be sort of pushing their way through to give you, like, big Pro Tour meta games that you'll get to play through that week. They're not doing all of them. They're going to have Randy Bueller put together and design some of these gauntlets, and essentially you'll be assigned an old standard deck at random based on whatever structure they're doing that week, and you'll play up to three matches using that standard deck against other people from the same format. So it's a quick rundown of the early ones that are announced through March. They're going to start with flashback favorites of Triple Zendikar. So that's going to be the limited one. Then January 11 to 25, they're going to do Legacy Cube. 25th of January to the 22nd of February, Aether Revolt came out, so that's what they're going to do. Then after that, they're going to do a throwback standard gauntlet number one, which we'll find out what that is once Randy Bueller probably makes a post about it, which will run Feb 22 to March 1, so running about a week, a little over a week. Then they're going to do a flashback favorites, and they're going to go through Invasion Plane Shift Apocalypse. Oh. So we're going to do something old. I have no idea what that limited format is like. I've never played it.
Did you do the original Ravnica as a format?
I didn't draft it, but I've played with a lot of the cards.
Okay, so the original Ravnica was very difficult to draft because of the color requirements, and you had to basically end up with a three-color deck, and if you started in Selesnya, you were screwed because there was no guild in Dissension that rewarded you for starting with Selesnya. Anyway.
Right.
Invasion is worse because you basically are always going to be in three or four colors, sometimes five. The cards are terrible. The fixing is weird. I think Sea Snid is one of the best cards in the set.
That's weird.
I've seen Kenji drafting it a bunch of times, and it does not look like a format I would enjoy.
So you're not saying this is a flashback favorite?
Not for me.
Right.
A lot of people like it because it's a very deep and rewarding format.
Okay.
I prefer, like, Triple Cons is still my favorite draft.
It's a really good format. It was very rewarding once you got the hang of the morphs and, like, how to outmorph trick your opponent and a lot of that stuff. And I'm sure they'll get to that eventually.
I mean, when I draft, nobody else gets morphs because I just take...
That's fair.
It's just morphs and dual lands. And then either Secret Plans or Trail of Mystery.
I mean, like, that's the format that I did the best in if I actually look at my competitive history. So I'm all in.
Yeah.
Sweet. So, yeah.
You guys are so cute.
Yeah. And so then in late March, they'll do Huge Draft. And then March 22 to April 12th, so you're going to get about 3 weeks of that, they're going to do Modern Masters 2017 edition. So guess we know where the attention's going to be there.
No idea.
Modern Masters in March, you guys. Forward to it. And then they'll announce more stuff, you know, as the year starts. I have a feeling that once they get more of a breakdown for how they want to handle their throwback gauntlets, then I'll try to go into that a bit with you. Like, I don't know all of these old standards very well. Like, I'm not even very good at current standard, but it's not going to, like, for this show, I'm not going to go through and, like, and here's how that limited format plays, because I am not going to know the answer for these things. But hopefully we'll have guests or other people with some experience on to say about it. Otherwise, you'll get to explore it and see whatever everyone else is talking about at the time.
Yay.
And so that's pretty much it for Magic Online. I don't suspect we're going to have a whole lot of Magic Online news over the next week, unless Gleemax actually has just taken over everything, in which case, I don't know, could be interesting. Maybe Magic Online being unstable is what held Gleemax back for all those years, and now that it's not, we have a problem.
Is there anything more Magic Online-y than, hey guys, we fixed the Gleemax problem? No, you didn't. It's still legal than Legacy. Oh.
It's pretty up there. I mean, the only thing that could really approach that in Magic Online would be if you were to come and tell us that they just started a Pro Tour thing and then it crashed. But they haven't done that in a while for good reason. So.
Yay.
All right. So that's pretty much it. I think we're done with news.
Yay.
So given that, I guess we can jump into sign-off stuff. Go team.
Yeah, go team. So I guess we should start with our guest. Let's start with our guest.
Probably.
Okay, so check out my articles at starcitygames.com. Normally up on Wednesdays unless they need me to fill a day. Giggity. I write about brews, standard, modern, occasionally legacy. These are not brews you will take to a GP and crush with and win $10,000, although that would be pretty cool. But take them to your FNM. Enjoy. Have fun. Play some crazy cards. I have yet to brew.
For the record, though, if you do take them to a GP and win $10,000, you are obligated to send Chris Lansdell $5.
I would have to find it, though. I mean, I don't even want $5. Yeah. I just want you to make played my deck idea.
Wait, say that again. You blinked out in the middle of
it. I just want it to be well known that it was my deck idea that you played that won you $10,000. That would just make my life. Then I could start writing articles again. Yeah, so check those out. Not sure how much longer the podcast is going to be around because our hosting site may be no longer. So while it's still up, you can catch Tapping Out on cardconfidants.com. We talk about professional wrestling and pro magic. So myself and Ken Crocker, former SCG personality. Also, if you're looking for something to binge on Netflix, go watch Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency because it has Frodo in it. And it's written by the guy who wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to... How bad can it be?
I think Chewie's the last person you make that argument to.
Yeah, because I'm not a big fan of Hitchhiker's Guide.
I mean, you don't have to be a big fan to recognize that they are incredibly popular, and although they might not be to your personal tastes, well written.
Yeah, Fifty Shades of Grey is incredibly popular too, and it is demonstrably not well written, so your argument
falls apart. Because also, the two things are required.
Right. Anyway. At Lands Delicious.
Spelt exactly the way it is in the show notes. I had to put that in there since clues weren't.
Be sure to put those two L's next to each other.
Well, there's three L's, right? There's one at the beginning.
Yeah, but two of them are right next to each other.
Just hanging out there.
Chilling.
Yeah.
Like a villain.
See, that's got two L's in it too. See, that's how you remember.
My name has two L's on it, but not my online name. You can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinNabob. There's no I in Goblin because I think it was hanging out in Magic Online when Gleemax took over, so we may never hear from it again. Whoopsie. But past that, you can find me at IchibonCon at the end of the month in Concord/Charlotte, North Carolina. That'll be fun. It'll be New Year's convention, so you get to see how nerds ring in the New Year's. It'll probably involve all that glitter that I was warning Lanstell about earlier. So look out. And past that, yeah, I'll be wandering on Twitter sporadically for the next few weeks because I'm not going to be at work, so I'll be on Twitter whenever my phone puts me on Twitter. If Chewie and I have linking schedules at some point, we may or may not sync up our own time and do content. Who knows? Stranger things have happened.
Yay, video games.
All sorts of things could happen. And past that, I guess I'll hand it over to you because Clues is on a boat and you can't find him.
Hey, Chewie.
I mean, I could go back through our chat history to find him. He told us where he was going. Yes,
Chris. Like to do some video games content with you.
Okay, let's bring that up on the show then. Yeah, that's a brilliant place for
it. I'm just putting you in this.
Did you just roll a die to consult the table? That's what it sounded like.
It sounded like
that. Like, I'm going to roll diplomacy.
It was a charisma check.
Like, Chewie,
I rolled a two.
Chewie, I would like to do some video game content.
You don't want to know what happened if I rolled D.
So speaking of which, you can check out my YouTube channel at youtube.com/c/themanapool, where in the last week I've put up, I finally finished the Kaladesh story in Magic Duels. Man, the AI is really, really dumb, but I guess they don't really care over much about the single player experience because that doesn't make them any money. So yeah, but I still did it and it was still fun, even though I was like literally eye rolling and shaking my head on camera at the AI. Like, what are you doing? It was bad. Also, Scott and I played Double Dragon Neon and the finale of that finally went up where we took on the actual final boss. That was super awesome. And there's an epic song, afterwards, which is well worth seeing. I started a new series called, well, for the game Golf with Your Friends. Where Billy and Jacob and I, you know, my Rocket League buddies, we played some golf with your friends. And that's, that's a thing. It's mini golf, except rage inducing. The first episode is not rage inducing.
Wait.
We played it straight.
Implying that mini golf isn't normal rage inducing.
Well, okay, yeah, that's a good point. But, there are modifiers for ball shape and, ground bounciness.
Yeah,
yes, thank you, 12-year-old Chris. And, gravity and things like that that you can, mess with. Like in the second video, we have a different ball. Well, it's not a ball, a different object, a different shaped object every hole. There's like the hockey puck. There's a cone. There's a cube. There's the normal ball. There's the isosphere, I think it's called. And each one has its own, you know, physical properties for putting. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We recorded four of them at once. So there's at least three more coming. And if people enjoy it, we'll do more.
So it basically sounds like Mother Truckers with golf.
I don't know. Not Mother Truckers. So sure.
Yeah. Cluster
truck? Not quite that bad. In other news, I'm streaming now. Like I said last week, I'm streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/themanapool. Tomorrow night, in fact, on Tuesday night, I will be streaming Hearthstone because I want to make Tuesday night Hearthstone a normal stream. Unless we have to delay Monday Night Magic by, a night, in which case I'll probably do Monday Night Hearthstone. So yeah, look for that. I have a new deck that I built that I can't remember what it is now because I don't have Hearthstone open. Oh, I built a, if you play Hearthstone, you understand this. I built a Reno Kazakus Shadow Priest. Actually built Brian Kibler's Shadow Priest deck that he was using last week. And, oh, it's so awesome. So I will be laddering with that on Tuesday night. And this past Saturday over on Twitch, I did an indie game spectacular where I played for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours. And I played a series of indie games and involved the people in chat. Like, we played some Super Amazing Wagon Tournament where Kevin got syphilis. And then he died. Like, immediately, we started, and it's like, Iceman got syphilis. I was like, what the hell? And then Nate got syphilis. We didn't ask. And then Kim was eaten by a coyote while he was being haunted. See, these are things that happened, like, for realsies in serious. Then we played, I don't remember the order I did this in, but I played Super Amazing Wagon Adventure with the Twitch chat people, and then I played some One Finger Death Punch, and there was some Nation Red, which is a top-down twin-stick shooter with zombies from 09, which is still awesome. And then I finished it up with FTL, which was very popular. So I'm going to be doing more of that, just playing fun games with Twitch or on Twitch and talking to people in chat. It's a lot of fun. I did have to ban my first person, so I feel like a real streamer now. Yeah,
that's a shame.
So yeah, that was fun. I was gonna temp ban him, and then I permabanned him.
And hammer.
I did. I dropped the hammer hard. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. And if you guys want to be in on that, or just come hang out, or shoot the breeze, or whatever, then by all means, it's twitch.tv/themanapool. It's a lot of fun. I love it. I wish it was Tuesday night right now.
Give it an hour and a half.
That's true.
It's Tuesday morning.
In other news, nothing. So I'm going to shut up now. So you can follow me on Twitter at @themanapool. Send me an email to Chewie, that's Chewie, @mtgcast.com or @themanapool.com. Either way, they both go to the same place. And yeah, if you want to help support what I do, then check out the Patreon, where every little bit helps, and I really do appreciate it. You can get the YouTube videos and Manapool episodes early. You can get the odds and ends, which is all of the behind-the-scenes sort of peek into our lives stuff that happens before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool that is uncensored and unfiltered. And really, the only thing that gets edited out is personal information, like the time that I gave out Brian's address.
Also, if you spend enough money, you get to have your name on the cool end plate.
That is true, yeah. The newly redesigned and easier to read inslate on all of my YouTube videos for every month that you support at that tier, you get your name on the inslate. Like a certain Lens Delicious you can see there.
Oh, right, yeah, that's me. It's at...
Oh, was that you? I thought that was the one with one L.
No, that's an imposter. It actually was a real thrill for me to see my name. I'm just sad that we lost Chewie in the washing machine.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure out how to work him back in somehow, because that was there for a very long time. But with YouTube's new in-screen technology, I needed some way to make it
cleaner. Can you make your new subscriber or new follower alert you popping out of a washing machine?
I don't have any of that on Twitch at the moment, because I'm still very small.
Okay, but it's easy enough to make. I understand. I don't know. But it seems like it would be
Seems like it would work. Nice. So there we go. Once I get partnered on Twitch, then all of my subscribers will be called lifeguards, huh? Manipool. Ah. And I will have Chewy and the washing machine pop out to tell me. Nice. That's in the far future though, because getting partnered on Twitch is actually a lot harder than getting partnered on, say, YouTube, where if you take the time to fill out the forms, you are partnered.
That seems remarkably easy.
Well, yeah, but considering I have been at it for a good while now and I've gotten paid once, that's why they hand it out to whoever, because if 1,000 people sign up and each 1,000 person makes like $5 in ad revenue, then that means YouTube gets to keep $5,000 because they only pay out once you hit a certain threshold. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's actually a brilliant business model on their part.
So do they just like never give you that money? Do you have to wait and you get it all at once?
You have to wait until you hit the payout threshold, the minimum of which is $100. Okay. Yeah. So that's why it's bad to get partnered on YouTube unless you have AdSense revenue coming in from somewhere else or you're serious about it. Yep, yep.
This is all fascinating.
And there you go. A look into how YouTube as a lifestyle works. Here's a hint. It really doesn't for a very long time.
That wasn't sarcasm. I genuinely
Oh, I could tell, but I have to cut you off. Now we could talk more about it in the odds and ends. And if people want to hear more, then go to Patreon. Check it out. Also, speaking of which, for odds and ends, my patrons at that tier over the next few days, let's say it's a Christmas bonus, will be getting a bunch of odds and ends because my plan today was to knock out like 5 of them. But instead, I had to go see Rogue One, and then I had to spend time with a friend who needed it. So didn't get any done today. By the way, Rogue One was awesome. Quick capsule, spoiler-free review as said out loud while the credits were rolling by my friend Brian, my Manipool co-host. He said, "Is it just me, or was that film way better than it had any right to be?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah."
Interesting. Stay tuned for odds and ends to hear my take on the movie, which I can't do without spoilers.
That's true. And don't worry, we will issue a spoiler tag on that for anyone less interested in those. So, not that they'll go out for a month or so. But anyway, so with that, we'll be done. This has been... Oh, no, we're not done. And if you want to help support Magic Podcasting in general, but not me specifically, that's perfectly understandable. You can go to mtgcast.com, click on Support MTGcast, and sign up for a monthly contribution of whatever you like. Because while MTGcast is completely free for all of us podcasters, and it's completely free for all of you listeners, it is not actually completely free and actually costs a significant amount of money. So every little bit there also helps. And they appreciate it. Yay. So now with that, thank you very much to Chris Lansdale for joining us this week, even though it is 8 o'clock in wherever
you
live.
Yes, sir, it is. It's actually tomorrow.
See? And of course, thank you for to Squee for showing up from the graveyard again. I appreciate it. And thank you to Clues for being on a boat. I guess. I miss Clues.
Aww.
Don't worry, I'm adjusting the sights. I won't miss him again.
We didn't even talk about that many blue cards. It's quite disappointing.
Yeah, I think he actually skipped this week to avoid remembering Magic 2014.
Aww. Lord. So this has been Monday Night Magic number 542. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some Magic.